Ever imagine getting promised some land by a family member? You know, packing up and moving, starting to build your dream life, and then boom, the promise is yanked away.
Ooh, that sounds rough.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what went down in Grindr v. Griner, a case that dives headfirst into family promises, land ownership, and this thing called promissory estoppel.
It's a real doozy, that's for sure.
It is. It really throws a wrench into how we think about trust and legal stuff, especially when families involve.
You got that right. What makes this case so interesting, you know, from a legal standpoint, is that it makes you really think about how much a promise matters, even if it's just between family members.
Right. Like, we usually depend on good faith and trust within those relationships.
Yeah, for sure. But Griner v. Griner is a bit of a wake-up call.
It is.
It shows how the law sometimes has to come in and make sure things are fair, even when everyone's emotions are running high.
All right. So let's break this down. We've got Maggie Griner and her son, Frank, going head-to-head over 80 acres in Kansas.
Prime real estate.
Right. So Frank, he got cut out of his dad's will. But his mom, Maggie, she inherited a whole bunch of property from another one of her sons.
So there's already a bit of an imbalance in the family, right?
Exactly. And Maggie, she wanted to make things right, you know, level the playing field a bit.
Makes sense.
So she told Frank she'd give him this piece of land if he moved back to her county.
Classic scenario. A parent trying to smooth things over, offering a fresh start.
Yep. And Frank, he trusted his mom. He took that leap of faith, uprooted his whole life, moved back. But he didn't sit around. He started fixing up the land, putting in the work, you know.
Investing time, money, sweat equity. That's a big commitment.
Huge. And that's where this idea of reliance comes in, right?
Huge, yeah. All of Frank's actions, they show how much he relied on his mom's promise. It wasn't just about accepting a gift. He was basing big, life-altering decisions on that assurance.
So far, this kind of sounds like a feel-good story.
Right. Family coming together, second chances.
But of course, there's a twist.
Had to be.
Because this is a legal deep dive, and things rarely stay simple.
That's the truth.
After Frank's been living on the land for almost a year, Maggie, she hits him with a lawsuit to get it back.
Oh, wow.
She never officially gave him the deed. And she decided to go the legal route.
Talk about a curveball. This is where things get legally messy. The whole case hinges on this idea called promissory estoppel.
Okay, break that down for us. I know you love getting into the legal weeds, so
yeah.
What exactly is this promissory estoppel thing, and why is it so important here?
Okay, so promissory estoppel, in a nutshell, it's like this.
Yeah.
It protects someone who relied on a promise, even if there wasn't a fancy written contract.
Interesting.
It's about fairness. Let's say someone makes a clear promise.
Okay.
You take action based on that promise.
Right.
And then, boom, they break it. And that causes you harm.
Yeah.
Promissory estoppel is what might kick in to prevent an injustice.
So it's kind of like a safety net for folks who trusted a promise, even if it wasn't all official and written down in legal mumbo jumbo.
Exactly. It acknowledges that sometimes someone's actions, the fact they relied on a promise, it creates a situation where simply saying, oops, changed my mind, just doesn't cut it.
It's not that easy.
Nope, not at all. The court has to look at the whole thing and decide if enforcing that promise is the only way to actually fix the wrong that was done.
I bet some folks are listening and thinking, well, duh, why didn't they just put it in writing?
Right.
But families, man, they don't always work that way.
Definitely not.
So how did the court take this promissory estoppel concept and apply it to the nitty-gritty of Griner v. Griner? Was Maggie's promise even clear enough for the tort to step in?
That's the million-dollar question. And the court, they didn't mess around. They went through each step really carefully.
Okay.
First, they looked at the promise itself. Initially, Maggie's promise was a bit vague, but
yeah.
When she actually pointed out that 80-acre plot for Frank and even helped move buildings onto it, well, that promise became much more real.
It went from just an idea to, hey, this is actually happening.
Exactly. It wasn't just a wishy-washy intention anymore. It was a commitment to a specific action.
Kind of like the difference between saying, I'll make you dinner sometime, and actually setting the table and putting a plate down for someone.
Perfect analogy.
Right. The actions, they make the promise real, you know, tangible.
You got it. And the court, they saw it the same way. Those actions were proof of a solid promise, not just some offhand comment.
Okay, so we've got a clear promise.
Mm-hmm.
But what about Frank relying on it? Was it really reasonable for him to move his entire life based on what his mom said?
That's where it gets even more interesting, and that's where the finer points of promissory estoppel really come into play. The court had to put themselves in Frank's shoes and decide if his reliance, you know, given everything going on, if it was reasonable, and if he acted in a way that actually hurt him when the promise was broken.
All right, let's break down those two points. Why was Frank's reliance considered reasonable? And what exactly did he do that left him in a tough spot when the promise fell apart?
So the court, they really thought about it from Frank's side. They knew moving to a whole new county is a big deal.
It is, yeah.
It throws your life upside down. There are expenses.
Totally.
And Frank even had to give up his house.
Right. He couldn't just keep it.
Plus, he was doing all this work on the land, making those improvements, showing he was in it for the long haul.
He wasn't just dipping his toes in. He was planting roots.
Yeah.
All based on what his mom told him.
Exactly. The court saw that all those actions were a direct response to Maggie's promise.
Right.
It wasn't just some casual agreement. It was the whole reason behind a massive life change for him.
Okay, so the court's on board with the whole reasonable reliance thing. But what about the detriment part? What exactly did Frank lose when that promise went poof?
Well, for starters, there's the house he had to give up back in Logan County, plus all the costs of moving. And remember, all that time and money he poured into fixing up the land.
Yeah.
That's a serious investment, both financially and emotionally, all because he believed in his mom's promise.
It really hits home that reliance isn't just about, like, a little inconvenience. It's about those real, tangible losses that someone goes through because they put their faith in a promise and then, bam, it's gone.
That's where promissory estoppel steps in. It's about making things right, bringing some balance back. Now, I know what some folks might be thinking. Couldn't Maggie have just paid Frank back for all his costs? Problem solved, end of story, right?
That's what I was wondering. Could a simple payout have settled the whole thing?
The court thought about that too, and this is where the power of promissory estoppel really shines through. They decided that just throwing money at the problem wouldn't really fix the harm that was done.
Right. It's more than just dollars and cents.
Exactly. Frank didn't just lose money. He lost the chance to build a life on that land, a chance that his mom had offered him, and he took it.
So the court was looking at the bigger picture, not just the financial side of it. They were focused on fairness, making sure a promise that had such a big impact on someone's life was actually honored.
Exactly. They said that real justice, in this case, meant upholding the original promise. Money couldn't replace the fact that Frank had uprooted his life and lost that opportunity. So Maggie, she had to hand over the land just like she said she would.
Wow. That's a strong statement about how much a promise can mean, even within a family. It shows that sometimes the courts have to get involved and make sure promises are kept, especially when someone's leaned on that promise and it's hurt them when it was broken.
It's a case that really gets you thinking. It shows how the law can be used to protect people, to make sure things are fair, even in situations that are really personal.
It makes me think about all those informal agreements we make, you know, especially with family. Do you think this case has implications for those kinds of situations too?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This case is like a big flashing warning sign for anyone dealing with promises about property, even if it's family.
Makes you think twice.
It really highlights how important it is to be crystal clear, to talk openly, and maybe even put things in writing.
Right, especially when something as big as land is involved.
Exactly. Because even though we might totally trust our family, having things spelled out from the get-go can save a world of trouble and potential legal battles later on.
It's like that saying, better safe than sorry.
Yeah.
But in a legal way.
You got it. But even beyond the practical legal stuff, this case also reminds us that there are real people behind all the legalese.
Right.
It encourages us to remember that every case, it's about people dealing with messy, complicated stuff.
We're not just talking about abstract concepts here.
Nope.
It's a reminder that empathy and really understanding the situation can be just as crucial as knowing all the legal ins and outs, especially when you're navigating these kinds of disputes.
You said it. Now, while this decision really focused on Frank and the unfairness he went through, we can't completely forget about Maggie's side of things.
Of course.
I mean, she's the one who made the promise in the first place, and then, for whatever reason, she had a change of heart.
Yeah, and it's easy to just label her as the bad guy in all this, but families, they're complex, right? There might be more to her decision than we see on the surface. What if we shift gears a bit and explore things from her perspective? It's easy to get lost in all the legal details, but it's important to remember there are real people involved in this case. What about Maggie's perspective? What happened there? Why did she change her mind?
Yeah, it's a good point. The court records, they don't really dig into Maggie's reasons, but we can kind of piece things together a bit. Remember, in the beginning, she wanted to make sure things were fair between her kids, inheritance-wise.
Yeah, because Frank got left out of his dad's will.
Exactly. She was trying to even things out, you know, do what she thought was right.
Sounds like she had good intentions. She wanted to make sure Frank wasn't left high and dry.
I think so, yeah. She probably saw this land as a way to fix what she thought was unfair. But it's also possible that over time, her feelings about the whole thing changed.
Like maybe things shifted within the family.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe she just changed her mind about how she wanted to handle her property.
It's a good reminder that things aren't always so black and white.
Definitely.
People's situations change, they see things differently, and sometimes even the best intentions can get messed up along the way.
That's life, right?
It is. It really makes you wonder if there was a way to work this out differently. Could they have avoided the whole family feud and ending up in court?
It's a good question. Maybe if they had talked more openly, you know, been willing to revisit the agreement, or even brought in someone to help them talk things through.
Like a mediator.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe things would turn out differently.
It's like sometimes stepping outside the courtroom and just talking to each other can lead to a better outcome, especially for families.
Oh, for sure. The law, it provides a way to settle things, but it's not always the best solution, especially when family is involved.
So, as we wrap up this deep dive into Griner v. Griner, what are the big takeaways our listeners should remember, especially folks in the legal world?
Well, I think this case shows how important it is to be clear, communicate well, and have actual agreements, even when it's family. Don't just rely on assumptions or good intentions.
Right, because that can backfire.
Putting things in writing, especially when you're talking about valuable stuff like land, it can save everyone a lot of grief later on.
It's like that saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, but for legal stuff?
Exactly. But it's not just about the practical stuff. This case also shines a light on the human side of the law.
Right. There's more to it than just rules and procedures.
It reminds us that every case is about real people dealing with really tough situations.
It's not just about abstract legal theories.
Nope.
It's a good reminder that empathy and understanding, they're just as important as knowing the law, especially when you're dealing with these kinds of disputes.
Couldn't agree more. This whole case, it's really a look into family dynamics, promises, and how the law tries to balance things out, you know, make sure things are fair.
It's a cautionary tale, but it's also a chance to think about how we handle these situations.
Absolutely.
Well, that brings us to the end of our deep dive into Griner v. Griner. We hope this discussion has given you some insights into promissory estoppel and how important it is to handle legal matters with a sharp mind and a big heart.